now we've talked a lot about narratives and action plans and all that other stuff. Let's have some fun now and talk about numbers. And I hope this is big enough where you all can read it. I can read it. Yeah. My eyesight's bad. I'm talking about on your paper, if nothing else. I wanted to give you a refresh of what we did in terms of money last year to prep for what we're doing right now, the budget that we're executing. And so I just recapped the budget that we had, and this may help inform you as you start thinking about the things you want to do next year. What did we do this year? What was the budget? What did it look like? So you have a copy of the budget there. And then in the lower right corner, these are the actions that we took on behalf of the budget. So you reduced the millage, we increased rec fees, we increased some tap fees, the rental fees, but we had no rate increases. At least as I've begun to plan the budget for you next year, unless you direct me otherwise, a couple of those are going to need to be increased so that we can keep pace with personnel cost and some operational, adjustments, but there are a couple places where we just need more money in operating lines because the cost of things have gone up. Pretty much everything, I would say, is the result of inflation, not the result of us growing anything. We can drill down into it in a few minutes, but when it comes to personnel cost, I was at the South Carolina City County Managers Association meeting last week, and we were told there to expect an 11.7% PIBA increase. So you can see last year we had a 3.7%. And that's what we have to pay in terms of an increase. I don't know what the value of that is going to be, but that's, give or take, could be a $100,000 hit to the budget.
We knew this was coming, right? Didn't you? I feel like this isn't the first time I've heard that number.
The state, it should be the first time I've told you that particular number.
Okay.
Because I just learned it last week. The state manages the state health insurance plan, and they dictate the amounts. We don't have any input in it, but because we benefit from the system. Last year, it was relatively small, but this year is looking at being.
What was that number you gave on that?
11.7%.
Okay. Kevin, question about that, just out of the blue here. The county, I've been told they don't work with PIPA now, right? They have their own?
I don't know.
Well,
I've never been with PIPA as far as I know.
Right. I've been told the county has better insurance than we do. Would it be worth looking at if they're going to start these increases? Because if they start, they're not going to stop.
Well, the challenge that we have is the number of people that we have.
Okay.
So the county's got 10 times more staff than we do. Less than 50 employees, and we're going to have, I want to say, maybe 40 that use the insurance.
Yeah.
And so when you have that few of people using it, one person has a medical issue, and it causes the rates to go up for everybody. You have to self-fund everything.
Okay.
I think we get a great benefit. Having been a part of quite a few plans in my tenure, I would go with the state pretty much every time because you get the benefit of a much larger group of people, and that helps stabilize the increases.
All right, well, just a question. I know I've been told that a couple of times with county people.
Yeah, and I don't know what their plan design is that might make the actual cost when they go to the doctor better.
Uh-huh.
But that could be there as well.
So the 3.5 mils we dropped, you think that may have hurt us by dropping it that quickly?
No,
because of the increases, or is it just something else?
I think we're good, and I've been kind of going back and forth in my own mind about how much we could afford to do again this year.
Okay.
And it may be that we're going to get squeezed in enough directions that there isn't one this year. But, you know, we lowered ours from, I think it was 99.7. So we went down to, who does that math quick? Adam, you're good.
96.7 minus 3.5.
96.2.
Yeah, so, you know, while it is, I can't do that kind of math that quick, Adam.
96.2.
Yeah. So, you know, keep in mind, Wahala's millage is in the 80s. And so, in terms of property taxes, they're our closest competitor. So, as soon as we can get there over time, then all things being equal, if you're looking at going to Wahala or you're looking to come to Westminster, if those values are about the same, then you're at least not hurting, we're not hurting ourselves by having the higher millage. So we'll talk more about that to see. Like the hospitality tax, you're going to see here in just a minute, is going to be a little bit of a squeeze. So it just kind of depends on what way you want me to go in putting this together. But at least as I've looked at it, I don't know that we could do 3.5 again, but we might could do 1. Okay. 1 doesn't sound like a big deal. But you keep the momentum going.
As long as you don't go up.
As long as we don't go up, yes.
Yeah.
So this is just a both of these are just recaps. Those are the exact slides that were on your budget presentation last year, except for the word recap.
This one I cannot read.
Yeah, this is your debt service schedule. This is the really fun one. So if you were to look, if you could see what's down there at the bottom of, just say, 2024 and 2025, we have about $283,000 a year in debt payments, which really is not very much for the size of our budget. What is not listed on here is the $8.7 million repayment to the USDA, but we don't begin repayment of that until the project is complete. That could be not even in next fiscal year's budget. It may not show up until the FY26 budget, but we will soon start counting that in here. And I have... So the other thing to think about in terms of debt service, we would like to continue what we've been doing with our equipment replacement. My plan right now is to come to you and ask you to fund two more general fund vehicles. It's either going to be two police cars or one police car and one fire car. I'm going to say fire car because it's not an actual fire engine, fire truck, even though they need a pickup truck for fire. You get what I'm saying. I don't want to call it a fire truck, but fire car. You know, when Matt was here, we bought that pickup truck, and I think that was important to him as a chief to have the pickup truck. But really, I don't know that that's the vision of the rest of the officers to have a pickup truck. We might do better to move that pickup truck over to fire because we need to replace the vehicle our fire marshal was in. And Michael and Jeff have already done some assessments of what that would take to move it over. And then buy two more police, what I'm going to call cruisers, police vehicles. We're weighing that internally, and as we put the budget together, we'll come to you. But two vehicles on the general fund side. So it would either be two police vehicles or one police vehicle and one fire service vehicle. And then on the utility side, we have talked more about equipment than we have anything else for utilities because you guys have been great to fund the replacement of the trucks. We have made substantial headway in the last 3 years with the number of vehicles that we have rolled out. We're not wasting a lot of money on transmissions and engine troubles because the vehicles are new and they're being well maintained. We may have another vehicle or two, but It's going to be more about a value of equipment that we are looking to do. The biggest thing that Kevin Harbin and I have talked about is, what do we do? Right now we have two large trucks. One of them really isn't a dump truck, it's a flatbed, but it's the kind of the higher profile vehicle. They both need to be taken out of service. We don't take them out of service because we use them. So we have talked about, do we want to go after another dump truck, or do we want to get a larger engine pickup truck with the capacity to pull a trailer that can do the same thing and then have the flexibility of that? We're still weighing through those options, and we'll come to you with somewhat of a plan. And then on the other side of that is really just keeping up with the equipment, keeping the equipment moving, so that I think we're in good shape for the most part with our equipment, but there are some of the smaller pieces that may not even require debt service on, that we need to keep replacing. Having our guys do work rather than worrying about maintenance of things that have broken is saving us a lot of money in the long term. In the short term, I mean, you've got to pay this, but rather than have Kevin or two of the guys disappeared for a whole day because they've got to take a vehicle wherever it can be serviced, and Michael has some of this too, well, so has Caitlin. It's a whole lot better if we keep the equipment newer and moving. And when I say moving, I'm cycling through before it gets to the point of needing a lot of maintenance.
Several years ago, we looked at the comparison on the maintenance cost for the vehicles compared to buying a new one. Have you looked at that? I mean, how much are we saving now by?
I haven't looked at it recently, but I did when we put the budget together last year, and I think we even moved some money out of maintenance line items into some operating accounts last year. The big one was police. We were spending a lot of money, and we have cut down on that, even though, I mean this kindly, police vehicles are tough. They're used constantly. They are in high-speed pursuits. They're turning around. Sometimes they hit things. Sometimes we got to get tires fixed. I mean, it's nothing I get in a twist about, but there's some cost there that it's just kind of the cost of doing business. Cost
so the two new cars we need, is that because of the two new positions or two cars that are outdated?
Two cars that are outdated. We have two Chargers right now, and Caitlin is robbing one for parts to get the other one running.
It's in Dodges.
Yeah.
Get forward.
Can you refresh my memory when we have to start paying the debt back to the burden of the debt, the lawsuit money to BMPA?
So I don't know the answer to that yet. The first payment that went out to Greer and Rockhill was $10 million that came out of the cash that we had in the bank at PMPA. The other $45 million is going to be borrowed. And PMPA, Julianne London, who is the CFO of PMPA, is in the process right now of securing the loan to be able to fund that. And she has not given us the terms and conditions of that loan to know when the repayment would start.
Could that be in this fiscal year, though?
It could. It could be toward the end of it. But remember, we may also know before those payments come due if Duke's application to the feds to relicense the Catawba Nuclear Station gets extended another 20 years, the decommissioning cost get lowered because they have more time to pay it, which means we may not have to have an electric rate increase just to repay that back. If we do have to have an electric rate increase just to pay that back, it's in the 2.5% range. I'm thinking we'll know all that by the time you get to June to adopt this budget, but it may be something that actually goes into August. And it's interesting you asked me that question. Dick Mangrum sent me an email and asked me that exact question this morning. Did you listen to Dick's noon newscast? Is that why you was asking? Okay. Andrea doesn't have a noon cast. Dick does, so I never know.
Yeah, don't think that I've got a bunch of good questions back here. Just every now and then I have to go off.
Well, I mean, that's
a... when you think about it.
Yeah, and that is debt that PMPA is going to carry that we will not carry on our books. Yeah. We'll just be obligated to repay it. Okay, hospitality tax. So this is the one that I really wanted to show you where we have done good work with the hospitality tax money that the city has collected through the years. And when I got here in 2020, we had built up a pretty good fund balance because, quite frankly, we just weren't using it. Well, we started using it. Yusuf Fields was built with the fund balance. Herb has made a lot of improvements in that you don't necessarily recognize. It's not any one big thing by us spending that money down, and we have pretty much spent it down. It's given us a lot of flexibility to have, and I'll get into a little bit more of that on the next slide. But I wanted you to see, and we only went back to 2017. I don't know how long the city's been collecting, if it was before then or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't think it was really relevant to go back too much further than that anyway. But this shows you kind of our growth. If you look at in the bottom right-hand corner here, you could see where the numbers stalled in 2020 in the COVID era. And then as soon as we came out of COVID, you see we picked up and it started going up again. We have budgeted to collect $200,000 this year. This doesn't show the penalties and other things that we sometimes collect. I think we're on target to come real close to that $200,000 this year, a little bit closer than that 178 is showing you as in terms of what Kylie pulled. But also, just real quick, that $11,800 that you see in December 2023 could end up going up because that's a fresh number that hasn't had everything accrued back to it. But those are good numbers to go by. I wanted to give you a sense of what we're collecting here. The other thing, and this is kind of for you to stew on, for you to think about, meditate on, pray over. This is how we've used the money the last 3 years. And I didn't list out all the agencies we give the money to. I just listed out that we still have each of those years given $40,000 each year in the local agency grants, which I think is what we called it pretty much every year. Wanted you to see how we spent that money. The lag that you're going to see on there between 2021 and this year is we planned to spend some of that money down out of fund balance, but it often had a lag into the next fiscal year before it actually all got spent. So you're going to see some fund balance numbers that kind of hang around and look, what I'm going to say, artificially high from 22 to 23 because we were in the process of spending the money. We had to get you to authorize it before we could spend it, and then by the time we got it spent and paid the bill, we were in the new fiscal year. For the most part, if you look down on the FY23-24 corner down there, and you see fund balance appropriation of $284,000, we will not have that next year. We will mostly have just the annual income for budget.
So somewhere around 178?
Yeah. We have 200 in this year, which I think we will still... I think we will still get 200, and we've got some development projects pending. One of them is the Sphinx gas station. Comes with I'm going to say a full kitchen. I don't know how else to explain it.
A gas station kitchen,
but a Sphinx. Like Sphinx.
I know, it's good fried chicken.
Good fried chicken, good chicken biscuits, good hot dogs. Not to take away from our other folks in town that have those things, but folks who may get something out of Sphinx, they were going to get that because they went to Sphinx, not because they
went to all the good spots in town.
Yeah. So I say that to say I think we'll see a net increase once their new gas station is up and operating. And the last conversation I had with them, it's likely to take all year before that happens. So it could be this time next year for something.
Do you know when they're going to break ground?
Could be very soon. The answer is I don't know. They had their grading contractor out there this morning. We have given them a lot of information in terms of hooking up the utilities and tap fees and electricity and everything else.
Do you know who their grading contractor is?
It was red letters like S-E-B or S-E-B.
No, that's Sammy Butts.
Is that Sammy? But he was
he's the one doing uses.
He was doing uses.
Yeah.
So maybe that isn't him.
Well, I was about to say, if that's who it is, we can tell you when they're going to work.
But they've got a... They are close to going out to start doing the grading work.
Okay. They have the utility flags and stuff like that out. I've seen that more. About a week or two ago.
For your February council meeting, I hope that we have it on your agenda. They have completed an economic development incentive application to have you consider refunding some tap fees and some building license fees, and how they would like a portion of the hospitality taxes that they would contribute for the first 5 years to be spent. And which is all a part of that application. I hope to have that on your February council agenda for you to see. I tell you that now because I may know from my contact there what their schedule is by the time we get to that meeting.
There's no chance they're going away though, right?
I don't want to say no chance. I mean, the Earth axis could tilt
I'm
one way
over.
I'm
just saying, they go in and say, you know, no, we're not giving you any hospitality.
I don't think that's, no. I think the economic development incentives, my perception of it moved the Westminster project up on the calendar. So this is to recap for you all how we've been spending that money. I didn't list out the agencies that we gave the money to, because in my mind, you deciding that you want to set money aside is the important part. So that you set $40,000 aside for those grants is more important than in particular who you gave the money to. However, having said that, if you want to see who we've given money to, we'll be happy to get that information to you so you can
It'd
see.
It'd be worth seeing just to know who's likely to come back and ask if you know the Apple Festival, the Bigfoot Festival. I mean, we know a lot of them, but yeah, I mean, a lot on that list are going to be expected.
So transfers, this is where kind of the, I don't know, is it a euphemism or just a saying where the rubber meets the road? I don't know what that is really. So this is where we really start to kind of get down and see, like, what is it that you want to do in the upcoming year? So I'm going to start at the bottom with solid waste. You see where we have a transfer in of $167,000. We transferred that into the general fund this fiscal year, in essence, as a repayment for what the general fund provided to solid waste for the three previous years where it was not self-supporting. So it's self-supporting now. But I wouldn't expect to come to you with a budget that's going to show that amount of a transfer again. If you were to go back to this slide, of course, the mouse works here, but don't work up there. If you look at the solid waste total, $915,000, if you were to take a 5% franchise fee off of that, which you could, that's about $45,000, $46,000.
Wait, tell me what numbers to look at again.
So, third line item down, solid waste totals, $915,046. See that?
Okay.
So then we're going to come over here at the bottom, solid waste transfers, $167,576. We transferred that in this year, the rationale being we were repaying the general fund for what it had fronted to the solid waste the previous 3 years when it couldn't self-support. So that was the exact amount, when you added those numbers across those 3 years, that we had paid from general fund to solid waste, so we repaid it back. If you just take a franchise fee off solid waste, which I think is an appropriate thing to do, that number goes down to about $45,000, $46,000. So you see right off the bat, you're a little more than $100,000 less in the general fund than what we have in this current fiscal year. Utility fund is, unless you tell me otherwise, we have a policy, is 5% net operating revenue, meaning I subtract out any money that we have coming in for capital projects, and it's just off the net revenue, and we do a 5% transfer into the general fund. That's going to probably be that much, a little bit more, depends on what the final value of the utility fund would be. The other pinch point gets to be the hospitality tax. We moved a little under 118 into youth rec and 100 into general fund, and then the general fund then sent 120 to youth rec. So if you add the two numbers that we transferred out of hospitality, the 117 and the 100, we're already over what we will receive next year in revenue. So somewhere we have to reduce one of those numbers, and then if you come back and you look at these lists, we now have less money to contribute to kind of the things that we have been funding, like Christmas decorations, special events, downtown improvements. It says Simpson Road Fields on there. That was before we named it Mefflin Fields. So, you know, that's one of the trade-offs. What do we do in terms of that?
Well, you said you could get some of that out of the solid waste.
Yep. Well, if we take the 5% out of solid waste, we're going to, in essence, lose $100,000 that would have come from solid waste. Now, there may be expenses that we can assign to solid waste. We've got employees that we pay from other places that often end up backfilling the solid waste department that we don't charge back for. There are some things like that where we can reduce some of the expenses, although those cost reductions more often than not come out of the utility fund, not the general fund. And then I put just kind of the full schedule, transfers in a summary format over here to the side. Kind of the good and the bad about youth rec. The good about youth rec is Herb Poole. And Herb Poole is, you know, if you give him a dime, he's hesitant to spend 9 cents.
Yeah.
And if he does spend 10 cents, we've probably got 15 cents worth of value. Youth rec often comes in under budget on revenue and under budget on expenses. Herb still has a mentality back when he had to raise every nickel he had to spend. He had to raise it before he could spend it. He still operates that same way. So often, if we don't have the revenue, he doesn't have the expense. So what he brings in, he spends for the most part. Now, we still have to augment that because the youth rec fees do not pay what it costs to run the youth rec program. And I wouldn't in any measure suggest we charge what it costs, because we would probably not have very many people participate.
Be nice if the county subsidized that for the outside city recreation user, wouldn't it?
Yeah, especially since 85% of our youth rec participants are outside the city.
Do we make any progress with that? I mean, was that
no, not with this county council. You will not make progress with that until the county council changes. They subsidize the fire, but they will not subsidize recreation.
So you can see where some of the challenge is going to come for you. I say you, I mean you and me together. And what are we still going to fund with hospitality tax? There are some things we just won't have the money to put to.
Well, Kevin, the Christmas decorations, Simpson Road Field, those are one-time expenses, so we're not going to have those next year, right?
Well, we have put Christmas decorations in the last 2 years, which has been what we've bought the new decorations. But again, that's up to you. I put that in at your
We need to determine if we need them.
I can tell you that we need new light post decor. They're dated and awful and broken. Candidly, and it was suggested we replace them 2 years ago, and we have yet to do it. We thought that the tree was a little bit more pressing this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, not that we necessarily may need $25,000 every year. I think there's a cut to be made there, for sure.
The downtown improvement.
$50 for the Hall Road?
Sir?
The Hall Road project. Are we going to need that now that we've got the...
Well, that's one area where if you don't put money from hospitality tax, I don't think it stops the project because we've got the state money coming in. And the same thing with your downtown improvements.
Mm.
I mean, so those are some that you pull off the top. As I've thought about how to construct a budget for you, unless you give me different direction today, I really was going to focus my efforts on three expenses. One is general fund, one is youth rec, and one is what we call the local agency grants. Unless you direct me otherwise.
When you say you're going to focus on that, are you're looking at cutting those?
No, those three would be the only three that you fund.
Gotcha.
Now, if you want to have Christmas decorations, if you want a line item in there, I can put one in there, too. Mm. The thing about Christmas decorations, I don't want to put too much pressure on the general fund, but you can pay for that out of the general fund.
Sure.
It doesn't have to come out of here. My suggestion would be, if you want, the only thing I would say that you need to leave in here is if you still want to give the grants out like you have been to Apple Festival, Bigfoot Festival, those things are hospitality tax related. You should run those through your hospitality tax. It's a little bit less appropriate or a little bit inappropriate to fund it from tax dollars.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's wholly appropriate to fund it from here. So if that's what you want to do, you need to leave that where the state statute says this is what you do with that money. But a lot of those other things you could fund from other places.
Yeah.
We funded it from here because we had the money.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, tell me if I'm missing it somewhere, or maybe you covered it and I just totally blacked out. Well, we have the allocations for these the hospitality tax, right? That's what was allocated in the budget. Do we have anything showing what the actual expenditure were out of what was allocated?
For
work averages out, like for instance.
For this slide right here?
Yeah, let's say local agency grants or whatever. Well, I think we did a total 40 or right around that. But maybe some of these were, and don't read into this at all, but Christmas decorations, $25,000. Did the whole $25,000 get used or whatever it was? Can we get an average out of the last couple of years so we can forecast?
Yeah,
that?
So in 23, we didn't use all of the Christmas decoration money. And so far this year, we did not. Yeah, and when I pull this together for a budget that I'll present to you, I'll show you what the actuals were.
I was going to say, don't you do that during the budget workshop?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking a little bit, but I just...
Yeah.
But actually, we don't have the money to fund all that.
Right.
All that with those amounts, right?
Correct.
Out of this, so we're going to figure out even to the amount.
Yeah, so I don't think, or I guess I do think $200,000 is going to be what our revenue stream for hospitality is going to be next year. So you start with $200,000 and say, what's the most important thing to fund? What's your second? What's your third? You're probably out of money by the time you get to your third.
Yes, I thought.
So where we've had a good bit of flexibility in the previous years, that flexibility is gone, which I would say is a good thing. That means we aren't sitting on money that we could have done things with. I really think we're all going to see a lot of value in the Mefla fields in the upcoming year. I wish we had seen it last year. We just the field wasn't ready for the kids to be able to play on like we wanted it to be, but I think it will be this year.
Well, as Mepple comes online and Hall Street comes online, also money coming in.
Yeah, well, the challenge is going to be, particularly when Hall Road comes online, that 117 going into youth rec is going to need to go up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the money coming out of the general fund is going to need to go up. Because where Herb keeps his revenue and his expenses tracking,
right. That
is on the programming of the sports activity, what you're in essence supplementing the money to do is to maintain the facilities.
And we're guesstimating going into like the inaugural years of these things anyway.
Those first years of operating new baseball fields is going to be a lot more expensive than what, or it's going to be more expense than what we have right now, because right now we don't have the expense.
Kevin, this is a little bit off topic, but something I was going to ask you about and I've forgotten until you just said something a minute ago. Several years ago, we were at a tournament in the lower part of the state, and they had a sign when you walk into their ball field, their recreation complex. It said, these fields are funded by hospitality tax dollars. These are from you and all the visiting teams eating in our local restaurants. We encourage you to visit our local restaurants. It was something like that, just let people know. Because we had a lot of people still don't realize that's what funds this.
I've seen those in Newberry recently when I've gone home.
Is that something would be worth doing? Do you think it would?
Yeah, if that's what you'd like. We have that time made up.
Yeah, well, I think like, that'd be worth putting up.
Yeah, I think so. Like, they're working on their rec department over mm-hmm. there, and there was a sign that says how certain parts of the complex were funded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the Rotary Club down there was huge, so they gave me a huge donation, and then hospitality tax or whatever. I can't remember how it's worded, but it's worded nicely.
I think it's something that people, a lot of people just don't realize that, and the more they spend eating out in our town, yeah, it helps it, so we don't have to raise our rates and all that other. That might be something we could look at doing.
For sure.
Well, and what, at least as I've envisioned, the new baseball fields are going to do for us that we aren't right now, is we're going to host tournaments we wouldn't have hosted otherwise.
Right.
Right.
Which, when you look back at this, should drive those numbers up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Speaks is going to help that number too. I mean, I don't think we can underestimate the power of drive-through chicken. It is good. Look, when you're driving through,
I'm not disagreeing. I'm on board. That's why I'm
laughing. You're driving the shortcut through Pelzer. That's where we stop. Is that Speaks, because it's halfway between Westminster and Newberry, and they've got good fried chicken.
And so we're hoping all this growth will take all this new expense and find a happy medium, right? That's what we're working on.
Yes, that's what we want.
I think if you look at those hospitality tax numbers by month and look at Herb's baseball tournaments, you would see a relation to those baseball tournaments.
Well, if nothing else, look at April and June in 23.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two of your highest months, and that's when Herb's doing the most play.
Doing the baseball tournaments that bring the people in.
They do tailgating packages at the Spinks, too.
The one thing that lowered ours, I think, for this year was Yusuf being shut down for so long. That could have lowered some of it.
Beef and Ribs also closed.
Yeah, that's right. Beef and Ribs
closed.
Okay.
That's up to the mayor.
Sir, can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Whew. I've been taking this all in. So, what is the city's tourism plan for increasing hospitality tax?
Recreation complex right now, so downtown master plan.
And then what about like downtown, like everything I see with like the music on Main, with Bigfoot, what's happening? Like, what is that tourism plan aspect for bringing more events to town other than rec that's going to lead people here? And then while they're here, they're spending money on the local businesses here. The any grocery store, anything that's got food sales is going to feed into it. The food trucks that set up. I'm sure there's a license for them to peddle sell food, right?
They pay a business license fee.
And then do they contribute to the tax?
Do they pay age tax?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just very little.
Yeah, it's typically not a lot. The food vendor, the food trucks.
Yeah.
It's typically not a lot. I mean, it's 2% off the total of what they sell. And sometimes those food trucks bring a limited amount in. And when they're done, they're done. And so I don't want to say it's not that any restaurant is never ending, but restaurants typically don't have to tap out. The food trucks have a limited value that they bring at any given time.
So basically any festival that happens or any event like Rockwestminster or anything like that that comes into town, it's really, to really make that worth our while, is to have as many vendors sign up to participate.
Well, I guess my perspective on it is no. The best thing is for food vendors not to come, and the local restaurants be the ones that utilize or benefit from the influx of people. But the folks that typically organize those, they like the kind of the activity that comes with having food nearby to the activity. So, you know, you don't have to go too far away or that you're coming in to eat food truck food. You know, that's what some people want to do. Barbecue or what is the thing you like?
Pork rind.
Blooming onion.
Blooming onion. Yeah, those kind of things that, you know, the
fried chicken.
The restaurant.
Fried chicken.
Don't sell.
Can we make bacon?
Hey, the chili man that we had for Santa Pictures is really good. He is the Bigfoot chili guy. He's really good.
Yeah, there's no fee for vaping.
No. That's what I said. Rick, we can make it. We got any vapes on.
We could put the fried chicken stand in the vape shop.
Yeah. Yeah, so I put this slide and this one really to just, I think these three really focus on your hospitality tax. I mean, this one, while you see the others, it is meant to really demonstrate to you the H tax use of funds.
Can you tell me again, you were saying there were three, if we were to direct you, there were three different categories from H tax that you would fund. Can you tell me what those were again?
Transfer to youth rec, transfer to general fund, and then your local grants, again at $40,000.
Local agency grants.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where it.
For you, those are the priorities.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't want to say that those are my priorities. Those are the priorities I've seen you all focus on.
I hear what you're saying. I just need to hear you.
Yeah. Am I wrong on that?
No,
are those
no,
the three?
No, you're right.
I think you're right.
Okay.
I mean, the thing about the hospitality tax, we for years, we built that up. It was built up to a pretty high level, and nothing was really happening. But you can see how these have increased by us spending the money, and the more opportunities we've got for the recreation projects and things going on. I think it's worth it the way we've done it, and I think we're going to start seeing it increase more with when we start the tournaments and with the Spinks. And it's coming. We've just, like Rebecca said, we've lost a restaurant for pretty much this past year. One's gone and one's been, open half the time. So we get through that, it should start picking back up.
Yeah, you know, Miriam is able to get her parking lot fixed.
Yeah.
Because she told us yesterday, her receipts are down because of the parking lot.
Big time, yeah.
Her parking lot's fixed, her receipts will go back up. That means our receipts go back up. Mm-hmm. That's just a...
Is she having to fund that herself?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, just so you all have the benefit of this, we have our local development corporation has a grant, can fund improvements to commercial property, but it exempts or on purpose excludes parking lot improvements. And so Dale and the mayor have both asked me that, and I wish it didn't, and I don't know why that we do. But it does. But the max it would have paid would have been $5,000 anyway. Of course, $5,000.
Drainage issues.
Yeah, it's got a list of things that are allowed and things that are not. And mostly what is allowed is the footprint of the building. Yeah, just like everybody else, I wished it didn't, because I wish there was a way we could help them out as well. But at least as that's written right now, that's not available. Oh, so we're in the water in our inner tubes again.
Chill out.
Are you guys good to take a break again? All right, and so I have, look at that, 258. Right about when I said we did.
I watched you work.